Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
You're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with joy, all right? That's usually how that works. And what a great little end cap there on this message, because is it talking about Paul and Barnabas? Sure, probably. Is it talking about the believers from the town that Paul and Barnabas just got kicked out of? Sure, probably. The gospel was preached, they received the message, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were filled with joy. Guys, right now, in this moment, let us as believers be filled with the Holy Spirit and be filled with joy.
In today's message, Pastor James will share with you about joy. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit and can be given to believers in the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there can only be fleeting happiness. Happiness is often circumstantial. We'll feel happy when we have enough money or when all of our needs are met. Joy is more contentment and happiness in spite of hardship. That's truly a gift that can be only given and not earned. Try as we might, joy is a gift from God. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Acts chapter 13 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
We need bread for the broken. Give some bread to the broken. We need hope for the hopeless. Give some hope to the hopeless, hopeless. Bread for the broken, broken.
And as everybody's flocking to go see John the Baptist, this crazy wild man in the wilderness, and people are repenting of their sins, and people are getting baptized, and you know, except for, of course, the religious people who are wondering what in the world he's doing. This is all just setting up the arrival of the king, so to speak. Verse 25, it says, as John was finishing his ministry, he asked, "Do you think I am the Messiah?" "No, I am not. But he is coming soon, and I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the sandal on his feet." See, rabbis wouldn't even ask this of their disciples, because that was beneath their disciples, to untie the laces of someone's shoe, of your rabbi's shoe. Even rabbis would say, "No, listen, that's too demeaning." And John the Baptist is like, "Listen, I'm not even worthy to take his shoes off. I'm not even worthy to remove his sandals." That's how awesome Jesus is. But John the Baptist understood this. His ministry was coming to an end. And he had even said himself, he's like, "Listen, I must decrease so that he may increase." But he was just a forerunner. He was just the one proclaiming, "Listen, we need to repent. We need to get our eyes back on God. And here is the Messiah." And John the Baptist would even go on to be able to baptize Jesus. We understand that story. Just a tremendous thing. All these guys are familiar with all these stories. Verse 26, though. "Brothers, you sons of Abraham and also God-fearing Gentiles, this message of salvation has been sent to us. The people of Jerusalem and their leaders did not recognize Jesus as one of the prophets had spoken about. Instead, they condemned him. And in doing this, they fulfilled the prophet's words that are read every Sabbath. They found no legal reason to execute him, but they asked Pilate to have him killed anyways." We'll talk about more about that in 2 weeks. But here Paul is just throwing it down now. He gave them the history. He gave them the timeline. And he's like, "Look, this Jesus," he's like, "it was our leaders who rejected him." They rejected him, ignoring what the word had to say. They had him killed. They knew it. I mean, there was no denying that Jesus was the Messiah. We've talked about this before. He checked off all the boxes. They had a checklist. When the Messiah shows up, he will do this, and he will do this, and he will do this. He was checking off all the boxes, but they were completely blind to it. They delivered him over to Pilate to have him killed, and he was, as we know, he was crucified. Verse 29, it says, "When they had done all that the prophecies said about him, they took him down from the cross and placed him in a tomb. But God," this is the coolest thing, we always say, beware of the butts of the Bible, or pay attention to the butts of the Bible. I am a former youth pastor, so you understand that, the logic behind that, okay? But you need to pay attention to that. But God, What a great phrase. What a great phrase for us to embrace even right now. We don't know how everything's going to play out, but God does. We don't know when the storm's going to end, but God does. We don't know what life is going to look like in the next few months, but God does. See, God is not constrained by our circumstances and our viruses and sicknesses and all that. He's above all that stuff. He sees, he knows. We talked about that last week. He was with his disciples. In every storm, he was with his disciples. Whether he's snoozing in the boat or whether he's walking on the raging sea to get to his disciples, he is aware of all the storms. He is with his followers, and he gets his followers through the storm. But God raised him from the dead. And over a period of many days, he, Jesus, appeared to those who had gone with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to the people of Israel. There are a lot of witnesses, and that's what Paul's saying. He's like, look, there are a ton of eyewitnesses running around right now. You want verification of the story? Go and ask somebody. There's a lot of them. Verse 32, and now we are here to bring you this good news, this gospel message. The promise was made to our ancestors, and God has now fulfilled it for us, their descendants, by raising Jesus. This is what the second Psalm says about Jesus. You are my son. Today I have become your father. For God had promised to raise him from the dead, this is verse 34, not leaving him to rot in the grave. He said, I will give you the sacred blessings I promised to David. Another psalm explains it more fully. You will not allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. And Paul goes on to clarify this. He says, verse 36, this is not a reference to David, for after David had done the will of God in his own generation, he died and was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. So clearly that psalm wasn't speaking about David. It was a prophecy about one who was to come, and that would be David's descendant, who is Jesus. And Jesus was crucified on the cross, buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, he rose again. His body never saw decay, never saw decay. Verse 37, no, it was a reference to someone else, someone whom God raised and whose body did not decay. Verse 38, brothers, listen. We are here to proclaim that through this man, Jesus, there is forgiveness for your sins. What a beautiful message. What a great message. What a great message to be preached on the Sabbath. What a great message to be proclaimed through Facebook Live and whatever avenues and all that good stuff for everybody right now. Listen, there's forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. That's the most incredible thing ever. We know that if you're in need of forgiveness of your sins, all you have to do is ask. That's all you got to do. Here he is. Here's Jesus who provides forgiveness of sins. And he would even go beyond that, as we'll see in a second, but there's going to be justification as well. Incredible. But here's Paul standing, giving this good word, this word of encouragement that he was invited to share with this group. And he's just throwing it down, and he drops this bombshell on these guys. He's like, look, guys, through this man Jesus, there is forgiveness for your sins, for your sins. Just a thing of note there, that is for your sins. I don't want to burst your bubble or you know, spoil anything for you, but you were born a sinner. We all are born sinners. We were all born in desperate need of a Savior. His name is Jesus. And you can't earn forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift. You cannot earn it. It is meant to be received. It is meant to be embraced. So if you got a sin issue, and meaning let's start at the baseline, the foundation. If Jesus isn't your Lord and Savior, well, then you just need to surrender to him. You say, okay, Lord, you offer forgiveness of sins. I need a Savior. because I don't know where your heart and your mind is at right now, given our current circumstances. And again, depending on who you listen to and what news platform or whatever, I'd advise you to limit articles you read, limit whoever it is that you watch or whatever, because, I mean, everybody's got a bias. But these guys over here are saying that it's doom and gloom and everybody's going to die, and then these guys over here are saying this isn't even a big deal. Regardless of both stances and where you stand and all that, one thing that should be coming to our minds is this, frailty of life. Frailty of life. A little bitty microscopic bug can come into our system and can just wreck things. What we need to be doing right now is not being afraid of those things, because there are viruses floating around this globe all the time. This is nothing new. What this should be stirring up within our minds and within our hearts is, hey, when this life ends, in whatever way it does, and let me encourage you with this, in case you are fearful of dying, your time on this planet will expire when God wants it to, okay? No coronavirus can take you out. It's all predetermined by God. So you're in good hands. Now, what does that mean? When will your day come? I have no idea. And you don't want to know. You don't want to know. You just want to live today, each moment for Him. That's what you want. The thing you want to be sure of is where you go next. Where you go next. You need to have that set within your heart and your mind today. Today. It needs to be heaven, because you got two options. It's heaven or it's hell. The only way into heaven is through Jesus. That's the only way. So during these crazy times, let's make sure we're secure there. We're set there. And you don't have to be afraid of anything. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Whatever news report comes across the screen, or maybe everything, the danger here is that this all goes away and we resume life as is. And we fall back into a state of complacency. That's the real danger that's out there. I think this is a wake-up call for us, especially us as a church, to get focused back on the Lord. So let's not miss that. But for anybody who's watching who's like, yeah, I'm terrified. I'm terrified what's going to happen next. Or what if I die? What happens when I die? Make that sure today. Even where you're at right now, you just say, Jesus, I need you to save me. I want you to be my Savior. And He will do that. He will do that. The other side of that, before I move on and close out this chapter, if that's something that you're doing, and again, presently, I'm not sure who's all watching this or anything like that, I do know that there's a comment section on Facebook Live. I know that we have, through our website, if you're watching on our website or whatever, you can email us. You got to reach out to people, and you need to let somebody know, because if you're like, listen, I'm just giving my life to the Lord right now, sweet. That's amazing. That's awesome. But you got to let somebody know, because what you need is community. What you need is community. And it doesn't have to be just through Calvary Galveston, because there's tons of avenues that are out there, especially if you're in Galveston. There are great churches on this island that embrace community and know how to come alongside you. We can get you a Bible. We want to make sure we do that. But you got to get connected. You got to get connected, because the isolation that's been pressed upon us, especially if you're alone, that can be a hard thing to deal with. So you want to connect with brothers and sisters who can encourage you and build you up and to help you weather this storm with a community, with a group of like-minded individuals. So reach out through the comments and all that stuff. Just post something on it. Say, look, hey, I need somebody to check on me. And then just hopefully we got enough people watching, all that good stuff. Embrace that. But if you need a Bible or whatever, please let us know. We'll take a Bible. We'll disinfect the Bible. We'll spray it down with Lysol or Purell or whatever we got to do, and we will send it to you. But you got to get in the Word, and you got to get connected to a body of believers. All right, so let's finish out this. Verse 38, just once again, brothers, listen, we're here to proclaim that through this man, Jesus, is the forgiveness of your sins. Verse 39, went way back. Verse 39, here's what's amazing. Everyone who believes in Him is made right in God's sight. I'm not a Greek scholar, okay? I like I said earlier, I'm barely a pastor, okay? So, but here's what I know about this word. It means everyone. No one's disqualified from this statement. Everyone or whosoever, however you want to phrase that, everyone who believes in Jesus is made right in God's sight. And that's speaking of justification. Something the law of Moses could never do. Verse 40, be careful. Do not let the prophet's words apply to you, for they said, look, you mockers, be amazed and die. For I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone had told you about it. Now, that's a reference to Habakkuk chapter 1, where God is dealing with the prophet, and he's letting him know. He's like, look, I'm going to do something that you guys just aren't going to believe. And what he was referencing was the fact that he was going to use the Babylonians to conquer Israel. He was giving them a heads up. He's like, you won't even believe the things I have in store, the things that are going on. The same thing could maybe even be applied today. Maybe God is doing something, and even if he told us what he was doing with all this stuff, we wouldn't even believe it. The key to this whole thing is this. Embrace the one who can forgive you of your sins. Embrace the one who can justify you in the presence of God. Embrace the one who will clothe you in his own righteousness. Embrace the one who adopts you into his family. And that's Jesus. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss that opportunity. Here's what happens as a result of this message, verse 42. As Paul and Barnabas left the synagogue that day, the people begged them to speak about these things again next week. So they got an invite to come back next week. Many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas. So now they're following these guys around because they want to hear more. They got this hunger. They want to hear more about everything that Paul was talking about, more specifically, this good news. And the two men, Paul and Barnabas, here's what they do. They urged them, these new followers, we believe that these guys probably surrendered their life to Jesus, because Paul and Barnabas are going to urge them to continue to rely on the grace of God. Continue to walk in the grace of God. For you, for me, during this day, if we get tomorrow, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Rely on the grace of God. Rely on the grace of God. Be completely dependent upon God's grace within your life. Embrace it. Receive it. Treasure that thing. With any revival, there's always going to be two sides to it. There's going to be a revival of good things happening, people surrendering their lives to the Lord. But there's also going to be a revival for the enemy, okay? Because he's going to rise up and he's going to try to squash any new movement that God has going on. Verse 44, the following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach. How encouraging, how amazing would that be if when this storm passes, if all of Galveston or even all of Galveston County went to church. How incredible would that be? Number one, we're not, you talk about an infrastructure that's not suited to handle that. Churches are not suited to handle that, okay? But the whole town showed up. What? Why did they show up? They showed up because, and it says right there, they turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. They didn't show up to hear from Paul and Barnabas, you know, their thoughts and opinions on this or that or the other. No, they showed up to hear the word of God. Verse 45, but when some of the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous or envious. So they slandered Paul and argued against whatever he said. So whatever Paul would say, they'd argue against it. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, it was necessary that we first preach the word of God to you Jews, but since you have rejected it and judged yourself unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. For the Lord gave us this command when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thank the Lord for his message. And all who were chosen for eternal life became believers. And we were like, how does that work? Listen, God knows, all right? God knows, okay? We can talk about that at another time. Verse 49, so the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Verse 50, then the Jews stirred up the influential religious women and the leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas, and they ran them out of town. Verse 51, so they shook the dust off their feet as a sign of rejection and went to the town of Iconium. So they wanted to take no part of this town with them. This isn't speaking against the believer, the guys who got saved during this message and all that stuff. This is the attitude of the town itself. They shut the doors on Paul and Barnabas. And so Paul and Barnabas shook the dust off of their sandals, saying, we're taking no part of you with us. They're like, got the Purell out, so to speak, as we can understand. And they just, when you leave Kroger, you bathe yourself in Purell because you want to take nothing that you may have picked up in Kroger with you. Okay, so they're gone. They're gone on to the next town, Iconium. Verse 52, and the believers or the disciples, we're filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit, and those two go hand in hand. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with joy, all right? That's usually how that works. And what a great little end cap there on this message, because is it talking about Paul and Barnabas? Sure, probably. Is it talking about the believers from the town that Paul and Barnabas just got kicked out of? Sure, probably. The gospel was preached, they received the message, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were filled with joy. Guys, right now, in this moment, let us as believers be filled with the Holy Spirit and be filled with joy. Full of the Holy Spirit and full of joy. And that joy can press out all that worry, all that anxiety, all the stuff. Each and every day, you and I wake up in the morning, we say, all right, Holy Spirit, please fill me today. Fill me today. Overflow me with joy. That goes beyond all my circumstances, that goes beyond all the news updates, and it goes beyond all the stories and the stuff. Fill me with joy, because I can still be a light today. I might be a light in isolation, but what do you think a lighthouse is? So listen, shine for Jesus in these dark times. Shine for him in these dark times. And I'm just going to read this last little verse. It's just an encouragement for you, for me. And look, and Calvary Galveston is praying for you guys. Listen, and we don't stress this enough, but we love you guys. You are on our hearts, and we absolutely love you guys. Philippians 4, verse 6 says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So this is what you're going to memorize for this week. Don't worry about anything. That headline comes across your phone, right? Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything, okay? Don't invest your mind space and your time and your thought process in this thing. Instead, say, you know what? I think I just need to pray. I think I'm just going to pray. That's what we're going to do. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Gratitude. Gratitude. He is still doing things. He has not forgotten us. He has not left us. He has not abandoned us. He is not practicing social distancing. And he's the only one who gets to be exempt from that, okay? He still cares about you. He still loves you. Tell him what you need. He's there for you.
Hope, the hopeless, hopeless, pray for the broken.
That's all we have time for today on Bread for the Broken. We're so glad that you joined us as Pastor James Grizzle teaches through the book of Acts. If you'd like to hear today's teaching again or listen to more verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor James, visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the Teachings tab. While you're visiting breadforthebroken.com, you'll also be able to learn more about the church behind the ministry of Bread for the Broken. At Calvary Galveston, we strive to love and live as Jesus did. We're just ordinary people discovering extraordinary truths from the Bible together. As we continue to journey through the book of Acts, our prayer is that your faith is inspired to move, that when you read about the early church, you rediscover the purpose that God has for your life. You might think you're just ordinary, but God sees you deeper, and he knows that you're more than that. Being obedient to the calling that God has on your life might not always make sense, but God blesses those who are faithful to answer His call. And you never know what incredible things God has in store when you freely say, "Yes, Lord." If you're ever in the Galveston area, we would love to have you come visit. Or if you're looking for a new church home, you're always welcome. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. to start the week out right with worship. Our atmosphere is pretty relaxed, so feel free to come just as you are. Find out more and plan your visit by going to our website, breadforthebroken.com. As you go throughout the rest of your day, may you find hope and new life in Jesus.
Let me paint the picture of you.